Now, so far I haven't mentioned what I, of course, regard as being one of the most vitally important parts of Australian space research, and that's the Australis amateur radio satellite, which I was privileged to be a member of a team which built that at Melbourne University in the mid-1960s. Australis arose out of an organisation at the university called the Melbourne University Astronautical Society, and when I went to university first in about 1962, it's a long time ago now, this society was showing old NASA films at lunchtime and not doing very much else. So a group of us who had joined it decided this was a bit boring, so we built a satellite tracking station on the roof of the physics building at the university, and we tracked satellites and proved we could do that. We picked up voice communications from some of the American manned spacecraft. We sent signals up to them, but they never actually came back and talked to us for some reason. And anyway, that also became boring, so we thought, well, what's the next step? And the next step, of course, was to build a satellite. Well, the next step was to send the Treasure into orbit, but he didn't want to go, although he was fairly short, so we decided to build a satellite. Now, this was, of course, fairly crazy in the early 60s, and Sputnik had only been up for about 5 years, and a group of Australian, not only amateurs, but students, who, of course, didn't know very much, to be able to build a satellite was almost unheard of. So, however, we set to, and we asked an organisation in America called Project Oscar, who'd already built four satellites and had them launched by the American Air Force. We said, if we build a satellite, will you put it up for us? And they wrote back and said, if you build a satellite, we'll try and put it up for you. So that was all we needed. That was the opening of the door, and we went ahead and started to do it. This is the actual satellite. This is Australis. It doesn't look very exciting, and from the outside, it wasn't very exciting. It was basically a metal box. It had to fit into a certain spot in the launch rocket, and our American friends said to us, well, this is the best shape. Antennas were made by the Stanley Tool Company, who make Stanley knives and make those carpenter steel rules that you use to measure things. And when we went to the Stanley people and said, look, this is what we need, they said, oh, that's no problem, that's fine. We're happy to do it for you, and we'll make them specially strong so they withstand things in space. And I'm not sure Stanley really knew what they were doing, but as it turned out, they worked very well. When we went to pick them up some weeks later, this was 1965, before metrics came into measurements. We were still in feet and inches, which the kids in here wouldn't even know what feet and inches mean, of course, but we oldies, it took us a long time to convert from feet and inches into metrics. And lo and behold, the feet and inches were all marked on the steel rules, the same way as they are when you pull an ordinary carpenter steel rule out and have a look at it. And we said, oh, that's lovely, but we didn't actually want that on the thing, you know, it's a bit sort of, you know. Ugh. And they said, well, we're sorry, but that's the way we make them, and we can't take them off, so this satellite is in orbit, and it'll stay up for another 475 years. It comes over the Earth over Melbourne at 9:30 every morning and every night, and for the next 475 years, there will be Stanley tapes in orbit with the feet and inches clearly marked on them.